want to share something with you this morning from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. The whole concept that the Israelites had to deal with in terms of figuring out how to put Thanksgiving into their lives and how interwoven with their ceremonies Thanksgiving was. When you go through Levitical law, you realize that what God does in all the feasts and on all the ceremonies is that He legislatively incorporates the need for people to respond with thanksgiving. And that's used as a teaching tool so that because you then end up going to the festivals, because you end up going to the tabernacle, and you're constantly being urged to respond with thanksgiving, that was the way in which they tried to ingrain that into the culture. Thanksgiving was important to God, and so He keeps doing things to force people to think about at least being thankful in return. I want to talk to you a little bit about these, I called it punctuation marks, but what it really is about is sort of the way that we end up leading our lives and sort of how certain punctuation marks can kind of show us how our lives can end up being. If my life is completely punctuated by the question mark, then I'm going to be the kind of person who is always and only stuck asking questions. So why becomes such an important force in my life that it actually robs me of life? I'm always asking why. I'm always trying to figure out why do bad things happen to good people? Why do the righteous suffer? Why do we park on driveways and drive on parkways? Why? Why aren't there enough? And why isn't there enough food in the world to feed everyone? Why do countries have bad leaders? Why do people get divided on the issue of whether our leaders are good or bad? Why? And what happens with whys, if my life is punctuated by that, you're going to be complaining a lot. Because in the absence of a good answer, you and I will make one up. And we'll share it with people. We will tell them why. And that can dramatically affect the course of our lives. Another punctuation mark that you can end up with is a full stop. Sometimes what happens with these periods is that there's a tragedy. Something happens and our life comes to an abrupt halt and it doesn't resume. We go through the motions after that because there's a full stop. There's a period. And something interrupts the way that we were living. And as a result, we never really get past this. There's just a great big period in our lives. And I've met both young people and older people. Doesn't seem to be age-related. Where life has just come to a stop. And they're just managing, just getting by. And when you ask what's going on, it's usually tied to something that has brought their life to a screeching halt. And then there's a comma. A comma is, well, it's living life with pace. It's going from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing. It's schedules, it's appointments, it's filling our lives so much so that it's hard to do anything but do stuff. There's always just another. It's a long run-on sentence. And then I did this, and then I did that, and then I went there, and then I did this, and then I did that, and then. And so we fill our lives with the, and then I did, until our life is over. What's funny is that you can see that happening to the nation of Israel over and over and over again. There were times in their lives where everything was punctuated by the why. Can you think of one? Why did you have to save us out of Egypt? We were happy slaves. Why do we have to have only fresh meat and bread fall out of the sky every day? How come dessert never falls out of the sky? How come there's never pudding? Why? And there were other times when things came to a full stop. The entire nation gets judged, led into slavery, and into exile. And suddenly, it's over. We've lost our land, we've lost our nation, and we are now stuck somewhere else. And in all of this, you're always asking questions about God. Commas? Oh, yeah. Think of the comma. There are some portions of Judges and Kings and Chronicles where it's just one story after another. Sometimes you think, as you're reading the Old Testament, that you're sort of there day by day by day by day. It's just this battle and then that war and then this king invades and then this brother does this to this woman and then that family does. It's just comma, 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 comma. That sounds like a song from the 90s. It's easy to get that bogged down in any of these punctuation marks. And yet God wants our lives to be punctuated by thanksgiving. How do you get there? Well, 1 Chronicles 16 is a very, very interesting chapter. And at the very beginning, it says this: they brought the ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched it, and they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. David decides to bring the ark along to where they are, and David finishes sacrificing burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. He blesses the people in the name of the Lord, and then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each man and woman. You see, what happens here is that, again, it's a very deliberate action. We are in a lull here. We have just fought a war in order to secure the city of Jerusalem. It's now ours. But there's a lot of questions that many of you have about, well, people who died along the way, people who didn't make it. You're looking at this strange city and the fact that it's now ours. But to do what? And David pulls the ark in, and they decide to have a ceremony. And so the rest of chapter 16 is this long psalm of praise, but you can see that very deliberately, David sacrifices burnt offerings, fellowship offerings, blesses the people, that there is a service, but he gives them food. That's why I made you eat raisins this morning. Because the passage said I had to. Because he knows psychologically that part of the release that people need is that within the context of worship, they need to connect with each other. They need to be able to tell their stuff. They need to get their stuff off their chest so that then when they are called back to worship and back to thanksgiving and back to remembrance, they got clear heads. Fellowship helps us to clear the air, to sort of take off what we came into here with for a moment, and to stop and take a breath and enjoy a song or a reading or something that somebody has to say. The Bible's exclamation point of thanksgiving is very clear. As David does this, he's really creating a thanksgiving worship service. in the same way that people still do today. It's an invitation to live with thanksgiving today. You see, this doesn't happen naturally. And one of the things that I'm reminded of as I go over this time and time again in my own life is that it is so easy to let those gravestones, the question mark, the full stop, and the comma, rob you of the moments that you should be thankful. Why does that happen? Here's what I think happens. Here's the problem of lives that are dominated by punctuation marks. Questions are not wrong. In fact, I encourage people to ask their questions. That's not wrong. But if your life is dominated by, it's never about anything but the questions, and you're not open to the answers either, then what happens ultimately, the symptom of that is you don't have and you will not have enough trust in God. If you live at that constant level of I don't think, I don't believe, I don't understand, why, in the end, the atmosphere that you're creating in your own head, then I really can't trust God. It's just too much that's wrong. And if there's too many things that you never get over or past, if your problem is the full stop, that there's these incidents, these circumstances, these happenings, these moments in your life that just have brought everything to a screeching halt and now you can't get past that, then the symptom of that is your faith in God suffers. Not really believing that God is sovereign or in control because look at the mess in my life. How come he didn't do this and how come he didn't do that? How am I supposed to have faith in a good God when I struggle believing that he's good? Too many things you never get over or past. And when we live life at pace, and bound by schedules and appointments and job lists and go from one thing to another thing to another thing, although we think we're exhibiting purpose, what really happens is that there's not enough time listening to or for God. The problem with the bottom one, with the comma, is that it creates an atmosphere of self-sufficiency. I got the reins of my own life. My life is a horse, and I'm riding this sucker, and I'm riding it at whatever speed I want, and I've just got to get through it. I got 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. Got things to do. And what happens is you just kind of live life with your fingers in your ears. You go through the motions. We do that at times. Have you ever showed up at church, left an hour later and not had a clue what happened during the service? I know it's never happened to you. Because you're in your head thinking of, will there be a table waiting for you at Earl's? The guy's not going to talk that long again, is he, and ruin your lunchtime appointment? Or you got something in the oven, or you got people coming over, or this is the week that you've got A, B, C, D. And so the future robs us of the present. Comma. Here's a little thing to share. Because everything is dominated by very deliberate actions, what I want you to understand this morning is that 1 Chronicles 16 is deliberate actions by the leadership to get people to be thankful. And you may say, well, aren't they being manipulative? And the answer is, Yes, they are. Because that's what leadership is supposed to do. It's supposed to manipulate the circumstances of life so that you get a moment to release. And in that release in chapter 16, where he finally comes to that great verse that I'm going to share with you in a minute that comes at the end, that's a verse that then dominates the rest of Scripture. What happens here in Leviticus sets the mood for what is then repeated in the Psalms, in Proverbs, in the Minor Prophets, and all the way through by Jesus. Because the stage is set, and the people are grabbed and told, sit down. Have some cakes with raisins and consider why you should be thankful. I want you to walk away from here this morning thinking through the deliberateness of thanksgiving, the way in which we do things together and we ask things of each other and we make time for thanksgiving. The end of Chronicles, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. That tagline is repeated over and over and over again. You want to do something this week? Take the give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and just figure out how many different ways and shapes and forms that is written. Because it's all there. You just saw it in Thessalonians. But it spans the Bible from beginning to end is God's desire that people engage with him through thankfulness, to be truly thankful people. What do? You commit to the Lord those moments where you can be more thankful. And you ask him to help you make those moments important. Let's just bow in a moment of prayer. Father, we commit to you, again, the different motions of our lives. We commit to you our questions. We commit to you our stops, places where we halted, where we didn't get past something, things that interrupted our lives. Father, we give to you our lists and our doings and our staying really busy. We give you all of that because in and of themselves, they're not wrong. They're just things that happen. They're just things going on in our mind. They're just ways in which we try and make life work. But there's dangers to all of them. And one of the things you call us to as your people is to show thankfulness in a way that is not evident in others. We know lots of nice people who don't know you as their Lord and Savior, and some of them have lives punctuated with great happiness, and they seem very thankful people. Father, people should not be out-thankfulnessing us as Christians. There needs to be that full expression of trust and faith and confidence in you that just makes us relish our relationship with you, our relationship with others, and ultimately the way in which we interact with those who don't know you yet. So Father, just bless us this Thanksgiving. Help us again to have a healthy dose of being grateful and thankful for all that we have and all that you are. And may we celebrate not only Thanksgiving, but may we celebrate being thankful because we have a good God. We ask this in your name. Amen.